Hey, it's MP here. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Crops. Today, March 19th, is National Ag Day. We wanted to take a moment to highlight it and join in the celebration of the importance of our country's farms, ranches, and the families behind them. More than 22 million full and part-time jobs in our country are linked to agriculture. That's roughly 10% of U.S. employment. The agriculture industry generates more than $1 trillion to the economy yearly. Farming is more than food. It's the clothes on your back, the fuel in your cars, pharmaceuticals in our hospitals, batteries, cleaners, detergents, makeups, crayons and paint, adhesives, fireworks, dyes, candles, fertilizer, water filters, tires, carpets, packaging, and much, much more. Agriculture extends well beyond the farm, and we're happy to highlight the importance that every American should understand how food and fiber products are produced. If you want to learn more about National Ag Day, you can head to agday.org for more info.
Welcome back to Beyond the Crops, the podcast where we share the real and raw behind the scenes of conventional farming and what it's like to raise a family on America's backroads. I'm Jenna.
And I'm MP. Join us as we candidly converse about two very hot topics circling the web and socials right now, daylight savings time and the proposed TikTok ban. Before we get into it, we want to make sure if you're finding value in what we share here to spread the word. Share it with a friend who might enjoy it. Send it in a text, share it on your social stories, or talk about it at your next gathering. We'd love to grow the show together, and we appreciate every single one of you willing to share with others. If you get a chance, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. We read all of the reviews and appreciate the time it takes to leave that feedback. It helps us out a ton. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for being here.
Okay, maybe daylight savings time. I know it just happened. Maybe it's not circling the web like I said in that. Maybe that was a bit dramatic, but it is personally victimizing my everyday life right now.
Why is it so hard? And I do feel like this, maybe it's every one that we do, I'm just like, oh, this jump forward is the hardest.
Like, it is hard. And for a good reason. Do you just want me to dive right in into the history of daylight savings time and why it sucks?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I was researching for this. I had a lot of opinions I wanted to share, and then we decided to just make an episode, and I got a little bit deeper than I was expecting to. So buckle up, everybody. So daylight savings time was first implemented in the United States with the Standard Time Act of 1918. This is World War I, and it was a wartime measure just for 7 months during World War I in the interest of adding more daylight hours to conserve energy resources. This was over 100 years ago, y'all. It was probably very effective in 1918. But like, welcome to 2024. So the following year, it was repealed because it was simply a wartime effort. Then year-round daylight savings time, or it was literally called wartime back in the day, was implemented again during the 40s during World War II. But it wasn't a permanent thing. It was a few years, not just 1 year like it was during World War I. Then in 1966, the Uniform Time Act provided standardization in the dates of daylight savings time, but allowed for local exemptions from its observance. So it provided daylight savings time begin on the last Sunday in April and end on the last Sunday in October, with the changeover happening at 2 a.m., yada, yada. In the mid-70s, this shifted. It started in January 1 year. It started in February 1 year. In the 80s, it was between April and October. And then in 2005, the Energy Policy Act changed the starting and the ending dates. So in 2007, then, the daylight savings time started on the second Sunday in March and ends on the first Sunday in November, which is what we are still practicing today. It was, so during that Uniform Time Act of 1966, it was enacted as a legal requirement. According to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, states can exempt themselves from daylight savings time, but they don't require permission from the DOT to opt out of daylight savings time. So people in Alaska and Hawaii, you lucky dogs, your states have opted out of participating in daylight savings time. And you can do that without the need for a federal law. But you can opt out of daylight savings time, but a state cannot choose to be on permanent daylight savings time without a federal change. So back in 2022, just 2 years ago, I say back in like it was a long time ago. Back in 2022, it was proposed to give states the option to stay on permanent daylight savings time. So it'd be like the time we just changed, should we stay on that forever? I don't know why anyone would want that. maybe it's because we have livestock and we have a lot of chores and things that need done prior to starting the worker school day, that it being dark that early is very difficult. Mm-hmm. I have heard arguments that outdoor jobs enthusiasts like golf courses push really hard to push to permanent daylight savings time, because then they can start their have golfers earlier in the season. I'm just like, golf, seriously? Yes, I love to golf, but I don't think that needs to control our time. I feel like agriculture, the food system, should get a little bit more say in that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, a bill was proposed to change that federally. It made it through the Senate, but then the House never passed it. It got tabled. It got brought back up in 2023. From what I could find, it's still kind of tabled. It's not going anywhere. I pray it doesn't go through, because I think permanent daylight savings time is for the birds. And let me tell you why. So we jumped forward, spring forward. I don't think I had a very, volatile opinions about this, like strong opinions about this, until I had children.
Yes.
Especially this year. My kids sleep for 12 hours. They have a great circadian rhythm. Switching to this has been terrible. We have to leave for school at 7:45. We have to drag our kids out of bed every day this week at 7:20. And they're like, why are you waking us up so early? Which is hilarious, because it's just an hour difference. So this would be like 6:20 old time. And literally a week and a half ago, they'd try to get up at 5:45 and I'd be like, get in bed, it's still the middle of the night. And now they're saying it's too early at 7:20.
That's so funny.
They're so tired. They look terrible. They have bags under their eyes. We try to get them to bed so they still get 12 hours of sleep. Why are we going to bed so early? It's still light out. And I'm like, you know, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a drastic change. I feel like that makes it so hard.
So it's 1 hour. It seems like it shouldn't be a big deal, right?
But it is a whole hour of your daylight changing.
Yes. And your whole rhythm changing. So we're working with a homeopath with Stetson to heal his immune system from the dysfunction that Lyme disease has caused. And I had a meeting with her on Monday to check in and see if his remedy was on track and everything. And so that was the day after daylight savings time started. And she made a comment that just put me in a spiral researching this. She's like, there's literally hundreds, thousands of studies that say how detrimental it is. Like car crashes increase. Wow. There's like a fatigue, like brain fog, all of these things. She just kind of loosely mentioned it. And I said, are you serious? And so then we talked about this and I started researching it. So there's a lot of things that can negatively impact your physical health because of this 1 hour change in time. There's an increased risk of heart attack and stroke. A study of hospital admissions in Michigan found there was a 24% increase in heart attacks on the Monday following the switch to daylight savings time.
Wow.
24% on that 1 day increase. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then a study from the NIH said that the risk of AMI, which is, oh my gosh, acute myocardial infarction, fancy word for a heart attack, increased modestly, but significantly after daylight savings time transition, supporting the proposal of discontinuing the daylight savings time shift. There's increased fatigue, which impairs your decision making. A 2020 study examined vehicle accident data over a 10-year period, and it found a 6% increase in fatal car crashes the week after people reset their clocks in the spring.
Oh my goodness.
Because there was no similar increase in the fall when people gain an hour of sleep, the study author said that the spike was most likely explained by circadian misalignment and sleep deprivation. Well, what does sleep deprivation lead to? Memory fog, fatigue, focus and memory issues, all negatively impacted. Increased irritation, low mood, depression, appetite changes and cravings. When you get hungry and you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to grab crap food like pizza or donuts or pop or foods high in fat and sugar, because science shows that when you're sleep deprived, you tend to make fewer healthy choices because your body is in fight or flight. So you're just like, get food in me. I don't care what it is.
I feel like I have opinions about daylight savings time, but I didn't realize how much it actually impacts people.
Right. I feel like I've always had opinions, but now I'm like, we need legislation. This is crazy.
Yes.
So if you have livestock or anything that needs fed in the morning before work or schools, I'm guessing you hate daylight savings time too. If you have small children, I'm guessing you hate it. In 2022, a poll found that nearly 80% of Americans supported changing the current system. So when I first read that, I thought, well, if 80% of Americans don't like daylight savings time, then what are we doing? but they just didn't like the current system. So 46% of those thought we should move to daylight savings time and stay there. But like I said, that requires a federal law that the House and Senate would both have to pass.
Mm-hmm. So 46% of Americans wanted to stay how it is now.
Yes, correct. And the 33% wanted the clock to run out on daylight savings time. So they just wanted daylight savings time gone. I'm in that 33%. I'm interested on how many people were actually polled and if anybody in agriculture was polled at all, because I feel like if you're in agriculture, you probably don't like daylight savings time.
Yeah, I think I like that it's dark or light out later now, because it seems like we can play and the kids can enjoy it and whatnot. But the mornings, having it be dark is just so hard to get going in the morning, and it really impacts like the day.
It is. And our days are getting longer every single day right now anyways. So I think this extra hour is just a dramatic change, because now our kids are going to bed earlier. Our circadian rhythms are totally whacked. It's just truly not healthy for anybody. And now I feel like I need to make it my new life mission to get Nebraska to opt out of daylight savings time.
Why don't you do Illinois while you're at it?
Yeah, I mean, that would be more difficult. You know, we have a unicameral. It's just a single house legislature. So I feel like getting it through one house has to be simpler than two, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm not a government official or any, I don't claim to know anything about government. But
me either.
I will say, like, when I had, I think it was a couple years ago, I shared when we fell back, I was struggling, because anytime we change, it's a struggle to either one, you have issues on either side. Mm-hmm. So I brought it up to my dad and he said, if we didn't change back to what is it called? The fall one where we fall back, kids would be going to school in the dark for months.
Yes. No, thank you.
Especially us northern, like Midwest people, because our days lengths, it is a drastic change from when you go to Texas where you're just not seeing as drastic of a daylight change.
Right.
So I do get it from that perspective. Like, we do need to keep our kids waiting for the bus or out traveling to and from school safe. And it does make sense to stay in that fall back period for them.
On standard. That's just standard time.
Standard time. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah. I agree 100%. So now, based on what your dad said, and it's true, if you just think about it and the times, then our kids are going to, it's dark right now when we go to school, or the sun's just coming up. So I'm getting blinded. Also not safe. and then for them to go to school so long in the fall when it's dark too, it's just bananas. It's crazy. It's 2024. We're not in an energy crisis. We're not conserving resources for a war. The golf courses will be just fine. We just need to stay on standard time.
Okay, so let's get a petition and figure out how to keep this moving.
Tell your friends, everybody.
Yes. So
I was feeling super hot about daylight savings time. Mary Pat was feeling super hot about this TikTok ban that I literally knew nothing about. So please enlighten us, MP.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about it. First of all, it's all over the news right now. And I think maybe at first I wasn't taking it so seriously, but then this week I feel like the coverage on it has been more, I don't know, I guess it's making me a little more concerned for what could possibly happen. So if you haven't heard of it, like Jenna, I'll give you a little background. So this TikTok ban is officially called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act.
For the love. So it's political propaganda is what you're saying.
I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because they really do come at it from a national security type of standpoint, which I think if you're not on TikTok and you just have no opinion of like how the app is used or whatnot, you might agree with that. Like, who needs this app? Because I'm not even using it. So anyway, but the bill would prohibit TikTok from U.S. app stores unless its owner, which is called ByteDance. If you ever hear ByteDance, that's the owner of TikTok. They're basically forcing ByteDance to sell TikTok to someone else. Really?
Is it because it's a foreign owned company?
I think it's specifically China owned. Like,
anyway. I remember this came up during the 2020 election that they were going to ban TikTok, and I wasn't even on the app yet. So I was just thought, why would I even get that if they're going to ban it anyways? But then it didn't end up going through. Do you think this is similar, or do you think our government's taking it a little more seriously this time?
I think it's different because in 2020, it was an executive order from President Trump when he was president. And he was also pushing for an acquisition, but he was pushing for Microsoft to buy TikTok, and that fell through. And now in 2024, Trump has since changed his stance. And I don't know if that's like a, because we're in an election year type of move for him. I don't know, because obviously there's a lot of people on the app that are voting. So that could make sense for him. But President Biden has said if the bill passes, he will sign it. So far, okay, I'll give you a little more background on the bill.
Yeah.
So
I feel like you need more background.
Yeah. So it gives ByteDance 5 months to sell TikTok. If it's not sold in that time, it would be illegal for Apple or Google app stores to make it available to download. 170 million Americans use TikTok. That's half of our country. And several small businesses and people who create use that platform. And that's like the sole source of their income for their families, mm-hmm. which, not saying that's right or wrong. We should all be diverse in where our income streams are coming from. But that is the truth for several families in our country. And this would greatly impact them. But anyway, so far where the bill is at, it passed the House overwhelmingly this week, 352 in favor and 65 opposed to the bill. So overwhelming support for the ban of TikTok.
Interesting.
Why did it pass? Lawmakers argue that TikTok poses a national security threat because the Chinese government could use its intelligence laws against TikTok's Chinese parent company, forcing it to hand over the data of US app users. And maybe that's something that I don't fully understand. Like, what are they going to use this data for? Like,
yeah.
I mean, Instagram, Facebook, all these other like stateside apps have our data. What are they doing right. with it?
Like, I'm kind of the mindset, who is America's government to mandate another country to sell a business?
Yep.
That just is insane to me. Like, yep. Who do we think we are?
I agree. And I think because like 170 million of us are on the app, like it would also impact TikTok's business if we couldn't be on it. But
oh, yeah.
greater than anything, like where are these representatives focused for the people that they're serving? There are a lot of families that are going to be negatively uh-huh. impacted by this. So where is the bill at? Next it needs to pass the Senate, which I think it'll have a harder time, but I don't know. I don't know how, like, a lot of people in these positions don't seem to understand what the app is used for and how it's used. So,
and I just, like, free country, freedom of speech, freedom of yep. expression. I think our government saying you can no longer consume this app is kind of communistic.
It is. Yeah. So it has
to pass the Senate. And it honestly goes against everything that our country was founded on.
Yeah.
It's giving me North Korea vibes.
I have in my, like, what do I think about this? My first bullet point is I think this is a breach of our First Amendment rights in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, out of all the apps that I spend time on, I don't consume as much content as I did at one point in my life. I've set more boundaries around that. But right now, TikTok is the app that I do spend the most time consuming on. And I feel like I get the most raw, unfiltered information through that platform.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, it needs to pass the Senate and then it will go to President Biden. And he has already said if he sees the bill, he will sign it. If it passes, he will sign it. And then basically what could happen is ByteDance can challenge any ban in U.S. courts after that as well. So there's going to be several hoops that this needs to get through before it would actually happen. Mm-hmm. And that makes me think, like, I don't know. I feel like there will be an uproar if this continues to go through from the citizens of our country, uh-huh. that I don't have a lot of confidence that they'll actually make it go through. And also there's like different things about antitrust and monopolizing the social media space and like reducing competition that are huge things to think about.
Right.
But also huge. Like what you said, who do we think we are?
Yeah.
And then a couple of other things about like, just what do I personally think about this? I've already said this, but it has the potential to impact hundreds of thousands of Americans who use it to promote their small businesses and create content. And that equates to billions of dollars in the pockets of our fellow Americans. And like, we're already, yeah.
Like, what would that do to our economy? Honestly, I know it seems silly, like TikTok controls a portion of the economy, but that's a lot of money.
This is, for a lot of small businesses, the only way right now that they're reaching their customers.
Uh-huh.
And I know that that's not like, I wouldn't advise that as a business owner, like spread yourself, you know, have a website, have different places where people can find you. But if you found this loyal audience on TikTok and they're uh-huh. buying from you, why would you not put your energy into that?
Right. And honestly, the days of like newspaper ads and magazine ads and radio ads are kind of dying. Like advertising on social media is what is happening in 2024.
Yeah.
And I think taking that away from Americans, from American businesses is absolutely unconstitutional, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think that non-users of the app. I don't think they understand TikTok and what it's used for, because I know like last March, the CEO or whoever it was from TikTok came to, was it Congress? I don't know. And kind of like gave a deposition about TikTok and how they're using data and all this stuff. And obviously it didn't convince our representatives that they're protecting our data, which, like I said, what is this data that they're getting and how is it so important to them? And I don't know.
And why during an election year?
Right. So I think that the non-users don't understand what it's used for. And I think it does have the potential to actually impact agriculture, because one thing that I've seen on TikTok the last couple weeks is an outpouring of support for the farmers and ranchers in Texas with the fires that they're battling. Uh-huh. And using the app like TikTok as a way to kind of bring people together and get together resources like hay and monetary donations and organize in mass in a way that can help support these farmers that maybe we would have, I mean, obviously like Instagram and Facebook are platforms to do that on as well, but there's a different connection on each app. Why are we taking away an avenue that people communicate for good?
And how many people would have not even known about those fires in Texas and that they could help if it wasn't for TikTok? Because I know that there is a lot of people in our generation and the generation below us that is where they get their information.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what the government's concerned about? They don't want them getting election information from an app like that? Like they want to control that?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that that could be the case, because we've all experienced, especially during Rona, the power of censoring on these other apps and how we, like, there's all those messages like that come up, or they actually take content down that whatever they don't want you to see. So I do think that that is part of why this ban is happening. Like, we're not able to freely share that information, a direct breach of our First Amendment right.
Yes.
So I think overall, a ban will do more harm than good. A ban is going to drive the people further from the government and further away from trusting the government, especially our generation. So I don't know what they're thinking and who they're talking to.
It's sad that like something like this should surprise me, but honestly, nothing surprises me with our government anymore.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, the thing is too, it's a bipartisan thing. So this is not like a Democrat versus Republican issue. It's like everyone is agreeing.
Right.
That this is a good thing.
Yikes.
So I don't know. And then as people, there's people who are left or right, who gives a crap where you are. Mm-hmm. People who are using this app to support their families that are coming together. Like, I don't care where you stand, what side of the fence you stand on. Now this is actually bringing the people closer together, fighting against something. And
right.
I don't know. Some of the different things I've seen on social media have kind of made me roll my eyes, because there's people on other platforms saying like, good, glad it's gone, blah, blah, blah. But they think that TikTok is an app for like people who dance, and that's all they know about it.
Yikes.
Like copycat dance moves. Yeah. And that's not at all. Like, honestly, I would say even I'm going to speak for Josh, but that's the app that he spends the most time consuming as well. So
I've spoken on a couple social media panels over the last few years, and especially high school students will ask them, what app do you spend the most time on? And it's like astronomical. TikTok is always the winner.
Yep. TikTok and Snapchat, I feel like, have
become... Yeah, Snapchat is huge. They don't even text. They just communicate on Snapchat.
That's like the Gen Z
form
of communication. Yep.
It's the crazy world we live in.
So anyway, go ahead.
No.
No, you do it, because I was going to segue.
I had something I wanted to add. I was going to say when I was talking about daylight savings time, when you brought up the pandemic, we were like expected to trust the science during the pandemic and do whatever they said to trust the science. But there's literally science that says daylight savings time is detrimental and we're not trusting it. It's just crazy.
Just pick and choose what you want to believe, right?
Yeah. It's infuriating.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a different farmer hot takes episode, but both of these things impact agriculture and how we function in our businesses and what we're able to get out to people and share about what we're doing on our operations and connecting to those audiences. So I would love to hear your guys' feedback on these two topics. Jump into our Beyond the Crops DMs. And I think sometimes our personal DMs get a lot. So if you want to talk about this, come to beyondthecrops_ on Instagram. Tell us what you think. Would love to hear your guys' feedback. And if you have any other insights that maybe we haven't thought of that go along these two like hot takes topics.
I want to add something about just the obstacles that agriculture faces, especially when it comes to social media. A lot of things with animal agriculture get silenced or censored or what have you. I just dealt with the dumbest thing on Meta, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. I was banned from advertising. And it took me, I kind of had to do some digging. I thought it was initially because I had this partnership a few years ago that they advertised a post that wasn't me under my name. They whitelisted it, but they used the wrong picture. Mary Pat's actually the one that found it and brought it to my attention.
It was a picture of Jenna holding a milk jug, but it wasn't Jenna.
It was not me. It was my caption and my name and likeness that it was under. And so that was a whole deal. So we kept reporting the post. It was a whole deal. I kind of thought it was about that. But the more I dug into it, I figured out that my Shopify site where I sell our beef products is, I connected it to Facebook because I had plans to advertise on Facebook. I just never had the bandwidth to really figure that out. So my shop and my products were connected. Well, my shop, my products are all beef products, and Facebook banned my products and then ended up banning me from Facebook because their AI technology is super sensitive and their technology determined that I was selling animal products, which goes against the policies at Facebook. I don't know why my products got targeted because I know ButcherBox advertises on Facebook. I have other friends in the direct to consumer meat business that advertise and they have no issues, but I was banned from that, which wasn't, I kind of thought I tried, appealing it, but they banned me from appealing too. I wasn't allowed to contact anybody.
Wow.
Thankfully I pay for the MATA verification. So I was able to actually speak with somebody at Facebook and they were able to get it resolved. And honestly, pretty quickly, it did take up 2-3 hours of my time last week. But they got it fixed. But I feel like it only got fixed because I pay for that MATA verification and I was actually able to speak with somebody.
Wow.
If it was just a small business starting out and they didn't really know how to navigate it, it was literally like, you're permanently banned. There's nothing you can do. You can speak to nobody because I was selling beef and they were saying it was an illegal animal product. It's just insanity. I have a lot of feelings about the AI that they're using to do that and like the censoring, kind of what you said. That's kind of, animal ag takes a big fall on social media a lot. And I I feel like sometimes the social media platforms themselves are to blame.
Yeah, I agree. And I know it's a free platform. So like, what can we expect as far as support goes? But that's why I started paying for the verification too, is because like, we have no control over if our account gets shut down.
Right.
How are we supposed to get help?
Right.
And this is like our businesses. This is where we promote our businesses. So yeah, I think that I'm glad you got that figured out, but it's something that shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Preach. Agreed. And it did waste 3+ hours of my very, very precious time.
Yeah. So if you have opinions on these two hot takes, how you use social media for your businesses, please like either share to your stories and tag like your thoughts with Beyond the Crops or jump into our Beyond the Crops DMs so we can see your thoughts on this.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check back in every single Tuesday when we drop episodes. If you like what you heard today, be sure to leave us a review.
See you next time.